The day you get your first real estimate on your project is the day all of that design work either pays off or it doesn't. In episode 50 of The Awakened Homeowner, we're opening the Estimating Your Project Cost series with the foundation every homeowner needs before they call a single contractor. What a real estimate is, who gets it done, and why your plans are the one thing that determine everything. If you're getting ready to reach out to contractors or you've already gotten back numbers that don't make sense, this is your episode. I'm Bill Reed, your home building coach. Let's dig in. Welcome to The Awakened Homeowner. Thinking about a new home or remodel, but feeling lost in a maze of decisions? You're in the right place. I'm William Reed, and for over three decades, I've coordinated the design and construction of hundreds of remodel and new home projects. I know the process can feel overwhelming, but trust me, you can do this. Here we break it all down step by step so you can feel confident, empowered, and even excited about your project. No stress, no guesswork, just the guidance you need to bring your dream home to life. Let's dive in. All right, welcome back. Everybody, you're listening to The Awakened Homeowner, your home building coach, and I'm Bill Reed. All right, so here's where we are. Over the last several episodes, we've done a deep dive into the world of contractors, who they are, what makes a great one, how they build their team, and as of the last episode, how they price their work. That foundation is all behind us now, and in the design series before that, all those episodes on architects, designers, construction documents, the whole design process, all of that was building toward one moment, this moment. Because here's the thing, the day you get your first real estimate on your project is the day all of that design work pays off, or frankly, doesn't. The plans, the specs, the scope of work, that's the package that lands on a contractor's desk. And what comes back is the number that either confirms your dream or sends you back to the drawing board, literally. So today we are starting the estimating series, and we're starting at the very beginning. And this is the big one, why your plans are the single most important thing you control in this whole process. So let's get into it. Before we get into the mechanics of this, I want to address something that trips up almost every homeowner who's new to this process, and that's the language. Estimate, bid, quote. Most homeowners use these three words like they mean the same thing. And honestly, in the residential construction world, contractors sometimes use them interchangeably too, but the differences matter. And not knowing them can cost you real money. So let me try and define them. So an estimate is the most informal of the three. And I'm going to even use these words interchangeably. It's quite confusing, but this is kind of how I'm breaking it down. And we're going to talk about what we're really trying to achieve as a homeowner, getting a cost on your project. So the word estimate can be perceived as the most informal of the three. It's a contractor's educated approximation of what your project will cost based on what they know at the time they give it to you. It's not a commitment. It's generally not legally binding. And critically, it can change substantially once the real details are pinned down. If someone hands you an estimate quickly before your plans are complete and your specs are documented, that number is essentially a guess with a contractor's name on it. Now, keep in mind, what we're talking about in the whole Awakened Homeowner ecosystem here is we're talking about people that are doing projects of more substantial nature, such as large-scale renovations, remodels, additions, and especially custom homes. There's all kinds of apps running around the world now where you can, you know, a contractor can take a picture of a room and automatically generate estimates based on God only knows what database and reference points. And that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about the big leagues. We're talking about working with contractors. You've been designing your custom home, major remodel, and we're talking about the proposal process, the quoting process, the estimating process, for you to get real costs. A quote, when the term quote is used, it's usually suggests a more formal process. It's a detailed written breakdown of project costs that can be signed and often used as part of your contract. It's based on a specific defined scope of work, but it has a shelf life, and there's even a duration that a contractor will usually let you know when it expires, because all kinds of things move around. So keep in mind that a quote, when we say a more formal written down breakdown of project costs based on your scope of work, is because you, over the course of the last several months, or hell, even maybe years, you've been working with your design professionals to generate a detailed set of plans and scope of work and specifications so the contractor knows how to price the project out. A bid in the residential world is where things kind of get murky. A bid is always a firm price for a fixed scope. In residential, the word gets used all kinds of ways, and sometimes it means a formal fixed price. Sometimes it means closer to an estimate. You can't assume, you have to ask. So here's why this matters in a very practical sense. A contractor can come in, walk your property, and hand you a quote estimate. Sorry, I meant quote-unquote estimate, not the word quote. That looks low and attractive. But because it's built on vague scope and incomplete specs, it has room to grow. A lot of room. And some contractors count on that. They get in the door with a number that wins the job, and they recover their margin through change orders once you're committed and construction is underway. And I got to tell you, the biggest culprit, the biggest contributor of this wide open door is improper planning, inaccurate plans, incomplete plans, material specifications missing. So our allowances are allowed, our allowances are defined by the contractor, a lack of narrative when it comes to the scope of work, meaning what you want done to your existing home or what you want included and what you don't want included. So remember, I've talked about in the past, there's three main things. I'm going to drive this home. You have your complete set of plans, your design. You have the scope of work narrative. That is, somebody, you or your architect, or maybe you have an owner agent, writing up a scope of work to narrate, to elaborate, to embellish on the plans. And then you have your specifications, which is your materials, both your construction and finished materials, and your equipment that needs to be used in the project. So those are the things. Now, if you don't do a good enough job in planning your project, you're going to find that you're kicking the door wide open for a lot of room for inaccurate estimates, or most common, you see, if you get three estimates on a project and they're dramatically different in pricing, it's probably because some guy didn't include what the other guy did. But, you know, going back to the whole change order thing, and I'm not suggesting that most contractors do this, and they don't necessarily do it maliciously. It's just they don't have enough information to provide you an accurate estimate, so they're just going to go bare bones because you haven't taken the time to inform them of what they are supposed to price out. So, you know, this is kind of like one of the oldest plays in the book, and your protection against it is always the same, your plans and your specifications. So hopefully I drove that point home. So the more complete and detailed your package, the less room there is for ambiguity, right? At a certain level of plan quality, an estimate stops being a guess and starts being an actual cost because the contractor has everything they need to price it accurately. So if your plans aren't complete, there's no such thing as an accurate estimate, only a guess with a number attached. So again, and a lot of homeowners don't really necessarily understand that they needed these level of plans and specifications and details in order to get an estimate. You just send out what you have. You have them walk around your house, give you an estimate. You like them. You go with a lower bidder, whatever the case may be. And then that's when the problems surface because you haven't taken the time to provide those details. So now let's go ahead and talk about what a real project estimate actually is. So nailing down what a project estimate is, and the best way to do that is with a contrast, because this contrast is one of the most clarifying things I can offer you at this stage of your project. So you remember the budget? Way back in part one of the book and the early episodes of this podcast, we talked about building a budget. That was the first layer of thinking about cost. What can you afford? What is your dream cost at a high level? What's the reality check before you fall too far in love with a design that your budget can't support? Your budget was built on some soul searching, some square footage math, some theoretical assumptions. It was your sanity check, and really a valuable one. A project estimate is something fundamentally different. So let's be really clear here. Everybody uses the word budget. What's your budget? What's your budget? Can you provide me a budget? So I'm trying to help define this word budget. And because if you think about a budget, you've allocated the amount of money that you can afford for your monthly expenses, let's say, at your home. So you've got your car payment, your house payment, your utility payment. These are all the things that you can afford, and you tailor your lifestyle to that for your budget. It's kind of the same thing with a major remodel project or custom home project. Is you have to decide how much you want to invest in the project. Forget about what the project really is. Think about how much money you want to invest. And that's where this BuildQuest application is coming in that I'm working on. I keep saying that, and it's coming. Slow process. But that's the idea, is how much do you want to invest? That's your budget. It's not a project estimate. It's not a construction cost. It's not a proposal from your builder. A project estimate is something fundamentally different than a budget. An estimate comes along deeper in the planning process after your design is done, your plans are drawn, and your specifications are documented in detail. What your contractor produces from that package is not a theory anymore. It's a hard cost based on real plans, real specs, real materials, and real labor. So again, all these confusing terms, but the estimating aspect is the action that your builder takes in order to determine the quote or the proposal that they provide to you, right? So the estimating process, because this is just the first episode of several episodes about the estimating process, the steps that you need to take to obtain costs for your project, okay? So the theoretical aspects of the budgeting exercise, they're not out the window, but now we have actual numbers. So your budget was your sanity check, your estimate is your reality. And remember, your budget sanity check was the objective in the early planning, what I call the discovery series, back in the inception of this podcast, was for you to direct your design team, to communicate with your contractors, to try to design a project that meets your expectations when it comes to investment. Now, here's what most homeowners don't fully appreciate until they've been through this process. The accuracy of your estimate is almost certainly a function of the quality of your plans and specifications. And there I go off on that again, because the investment that you're going to put into quality design and plans and specifications will pay off multiple times during the whole course of your project life, because you're going to know more going into your project, how much it's going to cost, make informed decisions, such as not implementing options that you wanted to consider or downgrading material or whatever, to be able to craft a project that is actually feasible, as opposed to going with the low bidder and then getting in the middle of the project and all of a sudden you're getting hammered with change orders. And all of a sudden your budget expectations are out the window and you're in a miserable situation during the course of your project trying to hunt down some more money. So again, the more accurate that information is, the more accurate your estimate will be and the fewer surprises you'll have once construction starts. And I'll say it plainly, you do not want surprises during construction. Surprises during construction cost money, time, and the kind of stress that you really cannot unwind. And on the flip side, here's something that might surprise you. A complete, well-documented set of plans does something beyond just enabling an accurate estimate. It motivates a quality contractor to engage seriously with your project. And believe it or not, when a contractor has reliable, complete information to work from, you may even get a better price because they don't have to build in a cushion for unknowns. They can price what they see, not what they're guessing. That's a direct reward for doing the design work right. All right, now let's talk about who actually gets this done, because this is another area where homeowners get a little bit confused, and the confusion leads to either inaction or the wrong kind of action. Here's a short answer. You are not the one calculating your project costs. Your contractor candidates are. And what you are and what you need to be is this facilitator. Your job is to make sure the right people have the right information at the right time. The three people who can help facilitate your estimating process are you, your architect, or your owner's agent, if you have one. And we haven't talked much about owner agents yet, but that'll be a dedicated episode for those of you out building very high-end custom homes, maybe your second, third, or fourth home, and you're not in the near area to be able to keep on it. You may want to think about an owner agent. Your architect can act as your advocate as well. So your architect really is a great resource here, and this surprises a lot of people. Most folks think of their architect as a design professional only, and they are, but many architects are also willing to assist in managing the estimating process. And this typically falls under what's called construction administration, which may be outside your base design contractor. So there could be an additional cost, but that cost can really be well worth it. Your architect knows your project inside and out. They speak contractor language, and having them present when you're reviewing estimates and asking questions can save you from missing something really important. So that said, though, I wouldn't hand this off entirely, because the estimating process is also your first real opportunity to start evaluating and qualifying your contractor candidates. So I recommend teaming up with your designer rather than relinquishing full control, and it works kind of best as a partnership. So the other thing I'd like to mention too about working with your design professional in the estimating and the construction administration process is if your contractor candidates understand that they will be held accountable by the architect, the design professional, their mindset changes a little bit in good ways. Understand that who they're dealing with now is somebody that knows what they're talking about when it comes to the details, the construction details, and all of the finished materials, and can have intelligent conversations with the design professional about some of the questions that they may have. But also, you know, an architect can kind of read through a lot of BS, frankly, and be able to help you zero in on a good candidate for your contractor to build your home. So there's a lot of like side benefits of working with an architect. And they can also help you do some comparison analysis. And you also might want to be thinking about who's going to develop the scope of work for the project. The plans are their main medium to convey the project, but it's not uncommon to develop a whole set of scope of work and material specifications in separate documentation, and who's going to be doing that. So again, depending on the complexity of your project, but it doesn't, even if it's a simple project or relatively simple project, even more reason to just go ahead and generate these set of specifications, because again, you just visualize yourself handing a set of plans, a set of specifications, exactly the same information to three different contractors to be able, and then sit back and listen to see how they interpret that information and how they feed back their costs. And we'll get into the methods to obtain costs, because this is one of the biggest challenges for homeowners trying to compare costs. And it'll be one of the upcoming episodes, and also what I'm building into the BuildQuest application to help facilitate that for you, so you don't have to get confused and what the good old apple to apple comparison mission that's almost impossible to do. So again, the estimating process can accomplish two things simultaneously. All right, quick reminder, everybody. Everything we're talking about today and so much more is in the Awaken Homeowner book. At less than 0.1% of your project cost, it's the best investment you'll make. Grab your copy on Amazon and keep it by your side throughout your entire project. Trust me, you'll refer to it again and again.
You can find your contractor and you can estimate your project. Those aren't really two separate activities. Done right, they're one process. So during the design process, you may, if you've gone to the previous episodes, a real important suggestion for you was to bring in a contractor early on in the process to consult with. It could be a relationship that your architect has and they've given you feedback. And then this is the time to bring those people back in formally to be able to provide a estimate on your project. Or and you are going to go out and search for contractors with your plans and specifications to obtain estimates. So again, if you haven't already been in contact with the general contractor candidates, the estimating invitation is how the relationship really begins and how a contractor responds to your invitation, what questions they ask, whether they bother to visit the site, how thorough and professional the proposal is. All of that tells you a tremendous amount about who you are dealing with before a single dollar changes hands. All right, so let me connect back again to something I just mentioned, because for those of you who are new to the podcast, you might want to go back and listen to some of these episodes in the design series and what I call budget checkpoints. So those moments during the design process where you pause and verify that your project is still financially on track, that's what we do with budget checkpoints. And it's an easy step to skip, but one of the most crucial ones to make sure that you achieve your dreams and you achieve your investment goal. So if you've used those checkpoints to bring a contractor into the conversation early, even informally, you're in the strong position right now, and here's why. First, a contractor adds construction knowledge to your design team. They see the plans through a different lens than an architect does. Second, they have a current pulse on construction costs in your market, which can shift significantly from one quarter to the next. Third, you've already started the contractor selection process. And fourth, this is the one that pays off most at this stage, when the official estimating time arrives. That contractor has prior familiarity with your project. They're not starting from zero. So not every contractor is willing to engage that early in the process. Some are and then some aren't. But if your architect has a solid relationships in the contractor community, and experienced architects almost always do, they can often bring in a qualified professional who's genuinely interested in your project. All right, I'm going to flip the lens here completely on you. We've been talking about this process from your perspective. Now let's talk about it from the contractor's perspective, because understanding what's going through their mind when your invite arrives completely changes how you approach the outreach. And I definitely recommend you go back and go to one of my most recent episodes where Enrique Guzman and I had a nice chat about this exact topic. So here's something that the book is very direct about, and I want you to really hear this. Estimating a project is a massive investment of a contractor's time. Depending on the size and complexity of your project, it can take anywhere from 40 hours to 400 hours to properly estimate a custom home or major addition. When a contractor estimates a project to generate a cost and a proposal or a quote for you, not only do they have to spend their own time developing the project in their systems, interpreting, disseminating everything from the plans, visiting the job site, they also engage with several subcontractors and suppliers and reach out to every single one of them, have them review the plans, have their suppliers provide quotes for materials, and gather all of that information in to generate a quote. And we're going to get into this a little bit because we're going to find out, is there a way to find out if these contractors are really doing that, or are they just shooting from the hip? So keep in mind that the mindset is of a contractor is really important. So they're going to be looking right at you wondering, are these plans worth anything? If we think this customer has the money to invest, they really are thinking about that because they have to invest their time. And there's something coming in this industry where contractors will start to charge for estimates based on specific situations. And we're going to talk about that someday too. So again, it could be upwards of 400 hours, and that's not a typo. That's not a misstatement. So when a contractor receives your invitation, their first thought is not, oh, great, a new project. Their first thought is, how many hours is this going to take me? And their second thought is, does the homeowner actually have the money to build this? So the smart ones are going to ask, have you and your architect spent time talking about budget? Have you thought about how much you want to invest in this project? See, they don't necessarily need to know dollar amounts, although that's helpful, but they just need to understand if you even thought about it. Because more often than not, people design a project, either don't convey their investment goal or their budget to their design professionals. The design professionals don't ask. They spend tens and $20,000-$30,000 designing a project, getting all the plans ready, and then boom, the numbers come in and they're two and three times more than they thought. It happens all the time. And we're trying to prevent that to happen to you as a homeowner. So there's a chance a quality contractor will pass on your project. And we're going to talk about some of those reasons, but those are a couple of them that they know they're going to have to invest a bunch of time and don't understand exactly if you can even invest the level they think it's going to cost. There's a reason, there might be a possibility that they reject the project. And the ones who commit are the ones who believe in your project and your ability to see it through. So this is a really important insight for you. And they're going to make other judgments that we're going to talk about in this episode about what makes them feel good or bad about your project. Now, here's another thing that we've talked about in recent past. You don't want a lot of bids. You want the right bids on your project. You want the right contractors providing you the right proposals, the right quotes, the right bids on your project. And I get really specific about this in the book. Obtaining estimates from more than three contractors can really overwhelm the process and complicate your decisions. And here's the part people don't really expect. Letting a builder know you're getting seven estimates will likely undermine their motivation. And Enrique and I talked about that. It's not about fear of competition. It's about the math, right? If seven contractors are bidding, each one's odds of winning your project become lower. And when the odds are low, you attract contractors who are either desperate for work or willing to lowball to win and recover later. Neither of those is what you want. And then a contractor, a reputable contractor in your neighborhood, doesn't want it either. They just don't have the time to compete with dirtbag contractors that sneak in here trying to pull something over to get a project, and then their motivation from there on out is to try to recover their costs. So two to three contractors is the sweet spot, enough for meaningful comparison, not so many that you dilute the quality of who shows up. So what else is a contractor evaluating when they receive your invite? Here are the four things I've seen matter most over 35 years. One, the quality and completeness of your plans and specifications. A complete set tells them that a larger percentage of their costs will be protected, that they're not walking into a fog of unknowns that will require hours of assumptions and guesswork. Two, whether you seem financially serious. This doesn't mean that they want your financial statements. It means your project has a clear budget range, a realistic timeline, and an owner who is clearly committed to moving forward. Three, whether the project timeline is realistic. A contractor who is booked 4 to 6 months out and isn't a problem, they might really be your best option. Find out where they are in their schedule early in the conversation, because you may need to plan around them. And four, how many other contractors are invited? Mention in your outreach to all of these contractors something like, we are reaching out to two or three contractors, signals that you respect their time and increases the quality and seriousness of the engagement you'll get back. So you may want to interview 3, 5, 7 contractors and talk with them, but don't necessarily invite all of them to bid the project. You can go off very high-level observations that you have. It could be, just the gut feeling that you have with the contractor. It could be the level of experience or not that you've learned about them in asking questions about similar projects that they've done. Rule them out before you even get bids and narrow it down to the contractors that you feel the best about that have the best reputation, and then get bids from two or three of them, and then sit back and evaluate. Okay, here's one of my favorite insights from this section of the book, because it completely reframes something that most homeowners get backwards. Most homeowners, when they're waiting on bids from multiple contractors, are impressed by the ones who come back quickly with a clean, confident number. And they're a little annoyed by the ones who keep emailing questions. What tile were you thinking for the master bath? Can you send me the kitchen equipment specs? What's the foundation depth on the civil plan? You know, ask architects numerous questions. Here's the reality. That contractor is probably the one that you want. The contractor who reviews your plans in detail, who actually builds the project in their mind while they're estimating, is a contractor who is going to give you an accurate number. And an accurate number protects you. It protects your budget. It protects your timeline. It protects your expectations going into construction. So pay close attention to the builders who ask many questions about your plans and your scope of work. That interest saves you money and time. Those are the people who care enough about getting it right to do the work before the work starts. So I'll add one caveat from the book because it's important. Don't take advantage of this tendency. The seasoned contractors can tell when a homeowner is using the bid process to get free consulting without being serious. If your plans aren't ready or if you're not committed to this project, the best builders will figure that out and move on to the next opportunity. Respect their time and they'll respect yours. Now let's close this segment with something that the book says plainly, because I think it's one of the most important things I can tell you about this whole process. Way too many homeowners provide inadequate plans, boast about the low design fees they paid, and then wonder why they end up with an inferior contractor and a lousy project. Think about what that's actually saying. The quality of your plans sends a signal. A mediocre set tells a quality contractor, this owner doesn't take this seriously. The odds of a good experience here are low. They pass. And the contractors who do bid on incomplete plans, well, ask yourself why they're willing to work with incomplete information. What does that tell you about their standards? Conversely, a thorough, complete set of plans tells a quality contractor, this homeowner has done their homework. A larger percentage of my costs will be protected. This is worth my time. They engage seriously. And that's exactly the contractor you want walking your project. All right, we're getting down to it. And this one is about setting realistic expectations, because this is where a lot of homeowners get frustrated. And almost all of that frustration comes from nobody telling them what the process actually looks like from the inside. For a custom home or a major addition, a full contractor estimate typically takes 3 up to 8 weeks even to come back to you. And for complex projects, it can even take longer than that. Here's why. Once the GC receives your plans, they distribute them to each of their subcontractor specialists, the plumber, the electrician, the HVAC contractor, the roofer. Each of these subs has to review the plans, price their scope of work, and get back to the GC. That step alone takes about 2 weeks on average, assuming the subs aren't backed up, which is in a busy market, they often are. Then the GC has to compile all of those numbers, verify that the scope coverage is complete, fill in their own labor and material costs, apply their P&O like we talked about in the last episode, and assemble a coherent professional proposal that they can hand to you and stand behind. A contractor taking 4 weeks to give you a thorough, accurate estimate is not slow. That is the process working correctly. What you want to watch for is whether they're communicating along the way, letting you know where they are, what questions came up, when you can expect the final number. Silence for 3 weeks, followed by an estimate, is less reassuring than regular check-ins along the way, right? Now, when your estimates arrive, there's a very common experience I want you to be prepared for. You send out your plans to 2 or 3 contractors, and numbers come back significantly different, sometimes wildly different, and your first reaction is, are they building the same house? Here's what the variance is telling you. Some of it comes from how each contractor interpreted your scope. Some of it comes from their current workload. A busy contractor who doesn't need the job will often bid higher. Some of it comes from the strength and pricing of their sub-network. And some of it often the most significant factor, comes from the completeness of your plans. Wide variance is often a signal that something in your plans or specs left too much room for interpretation. Each contractor filled in the blanks differently. That's not their problem. It's a plans problem, which ends up being your problem. And this is exactly why the next episode is about a tool called a work breakdown structure, the method that forces your contractor to price the same scope in the same categories so you're genuinely comparing apples to apples. That's coming up. For those of you who want a structured platform to receive, organize, and compare all of this, that's part of what we're building in BuildQuest. So you can get on that beta version at buildquest.co. All right, so let's go ahead and bring that car into the garage. Today we've untangled the estimate, bid, and quote confusion, and why that distinction matters when the wrong contractor is in the room. So an estimate is a process that your contractor is going through in order to provide ultimately a bid, or sometimes called a quote or a proposal. But keep in mind that all of these terms are interchangeable in the real world out there. So, and again, we're talking about upper end, mid to upper end projects, larger scale projects. We're not talking about, you know, downloading an app and taking a picture of a room and thinking you can just generate an estimate yourself and expect any contractor to match that. I don't think that's reality. So we drew the line between a budget and an estimate. Your budget was your sanity check. Your estimate is reality. We talked about your role as a facilitator and the dual opportunity in this process. You can find your contractor and price your project simultaneously. We went inside the contractor's mind to understand why 40 to 400 hours of work is on the line when they get your invite. Why the 2-to-3 contractor rule protects you, and what 4 things a quality GC evaluates before they say yes. We talked about why the question askers are the ones you want, and why crappy plans attract crappy contractors, frankly. And we set realistic expectations on timeline and bid variance so you're not caught off guard when the proposals start rolling in. All of this content is from my book section 3.100 through 3.102, The Awakened Homeowner, Options for Hiring Your Team section. And the book goes deeper on all of this and connects directly to The Awakened Homeowner website, which I write a lot about this stuff in the blog, and I expand even more in the blog posting. So you can grab that book on all the platforms, Amazon and whatnot, and I welcome you to it. It probably represents a minuscule amount that you'll invest in your project. And if you're in the middle of this process right now or getting ready to make your first contractor outreach, I'd love to hear from you. What questions are coming up? What's confusing? Drop me a comment on YouTube. Find me on Instagram at The Awakened Homeowner, or you can email me directly. I'll put all that in the show notes. But real questions from real homeowners shape where this series goes next. And if this episode helped clarify the process for you, share it with someone who's about to go through it. That's exactly who this podcast is for. So coming up next in episode 51, when do you actually get estimates? So back in the design process, there are 2 windows of opportunity to get your estimates. And this is when this happens during the design process. And we'll talk about which one's right for your project, depending on a few factors. And we'll work through all of that. That's what I have for you today, everybody. I'm Bill Reed, your home building coach. Remember, I'm here to enlighten, empower, and protect you. So now let's go out and make it happen. Thanks for tuning into The Awakened Homeowner. Remember, you've got the power to take control of your project from day one. If you're ready to dive deeper, grab The Awakened Homeowner book on Amazon. It's your roadmap to success. Join our community at theawakenedhomeowner.com and download our free story, The Tale of Two Homeowners. And here's something exciting. I'm developing an app called BuildQuest that's going to revolutionize how you plan and manage your project. Visit buildquest.co to become a founding member and test drive the app when it launches. Follow us on social media and hit that subscribe button.
All the links are in the show notes and bio. Got questions? I'd love to hear from you. This is Bill Reed. You got this.